The Heritage Transport Fair. This is from the 2018 archive of Waveney Words, and I will pass you straight over to interviewer David Holland.
The Heritage Transport Fair was in Diss on Sunday the 12th of August. I went down to the Heritage Triangle to talk to some of the owners of some very collectible cars. I first came across Chris Bale, who is the proud owner of a DeLorean with its gull-wing doors.
There's supposedly sort of between 200 and 300 in this country. Most of them were originally sold in America, yeah. So a lot of them are still out there, and supposedly there's around 6,000 still on the road around the world.
Now, there's a couple of unusual features about these cars, isn't there?
Yes, and obviously they're most famous for the gullwing doors, which open upwards, and the fact that none of them were painted. They're just finished in bare stainless steel so that it wouldn't rust.
Is there any finish actually on the stainless steel to keep its finish?
No, it is literally just the bare metal. But and as you can see, it's 37 years old, my car, And there isn't any rust on the body.
I have to say, you're a very young owner for a DeLorean. But it must have been an expensive car to buy.
Well, fortunately, I got in sort of before values rose quite as much as they have in the last few years. I'd always wanted one since I was a little kid, and inevitably saw Back to the Future and thought, yeah, when I can have a car, that's what I'd like. So I was 22 when I bought it, and since then, values have sort of been on the up, so I'm lucky to have got in when I did.
Have you had to do much in the way of maintenance?
Not anything huge. It was sort of a running driving car with an MOT and tax when I bought it, so I've done sort of a few little bits and pieces over the years I've had it, just to kind of keep it ticking along, but it's not sort of needed any sort of major restoration or anything.
You've not had any problems getting spare parts?
Well, when they developed the car, they didn't really have the money to do an awful lot of sort of development work themselves, so they bought in quite a lot of the parts from other manufacturers. So as long as you tend to know who else used the same parts, you tend to be all right for a lot of the mechanical side of things. For example, the engine was used by Renault and Peugeot and Volvo. It's a 2.8 litre V6, so it's the same as you would find in a Renault 25 or a Volvo 760.
Very, very popular engine, wasn't it?
Yes, well, it was quite sort of strong and reliable. When they first designed the car, they sort of had visions of sort of more powerful things in there, but again, it sort of came down to what they could get on their budget at the time.
How long have you actually owned the car?
I've owned it about 10 years.
And it's gone up in value during that period?
Yes, it's probably sort of close to doubled in value over the last 10 years.
And that sort of value is what, do you think?
Probably for sort of, a good tax-tested, solid car, you're probably in the region of £30,000 now.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks for talking to me.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I'm with Graham Blumel, who's bought an Armstrong Siddeley. What model is it?
It's a Lancaster.
A Lancaster, yeah. Armstrong Siddeley.
Yeah.
How many were made, do you think?
About 3,500. So there's not that many left now. There's more Hurricanes and Whitleys that are left, but they're all built on the same chassis.
Okay.
They look very much alike.
Now, Armstrong Siddeley, the name Armstrong goes back a long way, doesn't it?
It does, quite a long way.
Big manufacturers.
Yes, because they've done aero engines as well. And that's why they finished with the cars, to continue making aeroplane engines, because there was more money in it, which was a shame, really. Because, like the Star Sapphire, they had a Mark II, they made one. And that's still around today, because one of our club members had it. But they'd done Mark IIs on the 234 and 236, and they looked superb to what the old ones were, but they just didn't take them up. You know, in fact, I believe there was even a Mark III Star Sapphire on the board. Nothing was ever done about it. They just packed up. They'd done the 346 Sapphire from 52 up to about 58.
That'd be about right.
Then they started the Star Sapphires, which was upgraded. Yeah. You had a 4-litre engine. It was more plush inside. And it was that little bit more comfortable to drive. and they all had power steering. Some of the stars had even air conditioning in that day.
You've got standard, presumably standard hydraulic brakes on it.
No,
no servos.
They're hydraulic brakes at the front, but they're manual at the back. They work off the master cylinder. What is it's a floating master cylinder. When you put your foot on the pedal, the master cylinder moves forward, and that pulls the rods which operate the back brakes and the hydraulics. It's like a two-tier braking system. You have to get them adjusted perfectly, otherwise they're right out of sync and you have problems. But when I used to take this in for MOT, I used to have to drive it for the brake test, and he reckoned they was as good as any modern day car. So we've done two emergency stops, haven't we? We had to, and they're brilliant.
The car's got a beautiful finish, and presumably you've had it repainted.
I resprayed it myself, because when I bought it off eBay, and the chap said there was a few blisters on the wings. When I got and had a look at it, well, I had to take the wings off and take it to a firm at Beckles, and they restore Aston Martins. And they restored the wings for me, which I couldn't have done myself because there was such a lot of welding. But as you can see, they made a good job of them. The rest of the bodywork I'd done myself. I had a chap come and do the upholstery in the seats and the door cards and everything. But other than that, I've done the rest myself.
You've done rather well.
The original, the front seats were leather. The back seats were a green moquette material. Green carpets in the back, red carpets in the front. But as I say, I think it was chauffeur driven.
Well, the car looks magnificent.
Thank you.
Really, credit to you.
It's been a lot of hard work, believe you me.
We're on a few walls, aren't we, Glenn?
Yeah. Well,
thanks for talking to me.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you. I'm with John Rook.
Yeah.
John, what have you bought here today? It's an Austin...
Well, that's a 1935 Austin Clifton.
There weren't many of these made,
no,
were there?
No, there's 730 made, and there's only 18 left. And so there's 17 with this one.
I suppose it, as it's become rarer, it's become worth more money.
Oh, I should think so, yes. But yeah, that's the old story, how much, you know.
Yeah.
I have been offered quite a few thousand for it, but I got no intentions of selling it. But
how long have you had it?
I've had it, let me see, about 20 years, yeah, roughly.
How did you originally acquire it?
Well, I bought it off a good friend of mine. He restored it, and I bought it off him. So I done a little bit of work, minor jobs on it. That's how I've had it ever since, sort of thing, yeah.
What sort of problems have you had with it?
None.
Maintenance-wise?
Well, I say none. Earlier this year, I had to put a coil, new condenser and new points on it. Mm-hmm. And in that time, that is all the bothers I had them.
And what sort of braking system have you got? Is it a...
That's a cable and rods. So... If you're coming up to some traffic lights, you really need binoculars with you before so you can see the lights turn red a good day.
It just goes to prove how traffic was very much slower in
oh,
the early days.
Yes, it was.
It must have been considerably slower.
Oh, yeah. I mean, in its day, I drive this about 40 mile an hour, but I should in its day, it'd have been fairly fast, wouldn't it?
It's an unusual looking car
that
because
is.
It's got... You've got your two seats in the front.
That's right.
But
yeah.
You've got what they call a
dicky seat in the back.
Dicky seat in
yeah,
the back.
Yeah.
Now, can you
open the hood up and you climb up these two steps, one there, and hop in the back.
It's actually where you're opening the boot, not the front. You're opening the boot.
That's how the dicky seat really originated. The car called the Dixie was the first one to build a little seat in the back.
And where was that made? Here?
No, America.
America, yeah.
Yeah.
But in America, they were making cars with dicky seats.
That's right, yeah, yeah.
Which is quite a common feature.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thanks for talking to me.
That's okay, you're welcome, yeah.
Thank you.
And I hope you have a nice day. So I'm now going to enjoy my dinner.
Okay. I'm with Dave Bennett, who's brought along a Chevrolet And I have to say, it looks like a gangster's car, doesn't it?
It does.
From the 20s.
It's 1928. It's built in Canada for the New Zealand market. So it's been right-hand drive from brand new. And it's brought into this country in 1990. I've owned it for about just over a year. So, and I had it resprayed, as you can see.
Yeah.
It runs very well. We do weddings in it, and we do other things with it as well.
Use it in the wind?
No. I use it all year round. I've been in it all year round. Yes. It's quite reliable little thing, and it's quite easy to work on. It's only a four-cylinder, 2.8 litre engine in it, four-cylinder.
Apart from painting, any repairs you've done?
Well, we obviously had to have the brakes relined, which I had to go to a specialist in the other side of Norwich to have done. We have most parts, if they break, you do it yourself. Yeah, I've had a brake lever break,
yeah,
and I had to repair that myself because obviously you cannot get spares for anything like you're seeing.
I have to say that this is cable brakes, is it?
No,
not
this is
hydraulic.
No, this is rod brakes.
Rod brakes?
Rod brakes, yes.
Oh, right. I've not come across rod brakes before.
That's rod brakes front and rear. There's a rods either, for either.
And how efficient are they?
Not very. you have to be very careful in traffic to make sure that you can see what's going on in front of you, to give yourself plenty of brake and time, yes. Yeah. And the rear brakes, like you can see the front drum brakes, where the brakes are actually on the inside of the drum. Like,
yep.
Yeah, but on the rear, they're on the outside. There's a band go on the outside of the drum.
Right.
They're not very efficient at all. They aren't.
Right.
Yes.
Well, that is really a bit crude, isn't
they
it?
They are very, 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 very agricultural, shall we say.
Yeah, when it's subject to all the weather and everything.
Indeed,
and
the back ones are, yes, yeah.
Okay, well, okay. Thanks for talking to me.
Yes, welcome. Awesome. You're welcome. Thank you for looking at my car.
Thank you. I'm with Norman Storer, who's got an SB250 Daimler Dart. Beautiful looking car. It's made out of fibreglass, is that right?
Correct, that's correct, yeah. Completely fibreglass body. There are a few steel inserts if you want to be a real anorak. I purchased it in 67 as a runner and on the road. I then got married and children and one thing and another,
yeah.
So it got put on the back burner, as they say. But eventually I renovated it after many years, and that's what you see from 3.5 years ago.
Did you actually take the body off the chassis?
The body came off the chassis. The chassis had the axles removed. I even delaminated where the laps on the cruciform overlay the main chassis rails, if you like. I drilled the spot welds out, lifted them off the chassis, cleaned underneath, zinced them, and then put them back and re-welded. I wasn't going to do it again. Once is enough, as far as I was concerned.
That's an awful lot of work, isn't it?
You couldn't price it and be paid for doing it to that extent, you know.
No. The car's got a beautiful blue. What blue is it?
It's a... I think it's a Daimler Midnight Blue, they call it.
The police had them for a time, didn't they?
Yeah, there were several police forces used them, about 6 or 7, I believe.
I think in motorway use, really.
Motorway use. Manchester had them, Kent. It didn't sell in big numbers when new. I think the first year they produced them, you could get about 4 or 5 basic colours. But then later on in the life of the car, we'll say... I can't answer for 100% accuracy, but 62, you could order them any colour you wanted.
The engine's a V8, isn't it?
It's a hemispherical combustion chambered V8, 2.5 litres in round figures.
And whose make is it?
It's Daimler.
It is?
It's the last Daimler engine Daimler produced. When Daimler were taken over in the early 60s by Jaguar, they then used Jaguar engines in things. But this was, as I say, Edward Turner designed this. He was the guy that designed the Triumph motorcycle engine and the Ariel Square 4, and he put his finger on this and designed it. The best V8s in the day were the American Chevy, and he copied the bottom end of that, and then he used the combustion chambers of the Triumph motorcycle engine. designed a car around that, because that engine was about twice the horsepower of a Ford Zodiac in its day.
Very smooth engine it was, wasn't it?
It is
a very smooth.
Very smooth. Very expensive to produce. And Daimler at that time, from being a mega industry in the First World War, producing tanks, aeroplane engines, you name it, they made it to the 60s when it was Dockers drove it into the ground. It's sad in a way.
Okay, thanks for talking to me.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
Okay.
That's it from me, Dave Holland. Thanks for listening.
David Holland was visiting the Heritage Transport Fair, and thank you to Waveney Words.